Charlie, will you give us a typical mission and how long it lasted?
Yeah, we Doc will tell you this too. We come up from Fubai, which is just 45-minute flying time up to Dong Ha. We'd get an observer, and we'd fly 3 hours to 4 hours. The airplane's endurance was about 4.5 hours. No bathrooms. And there was a break, maybe of 45 minutes, and then you go up there for another 3.5 hours. And then you would fly 45 minutes back to Fubai. So that's 1.5 hours, let's say 2-3 hour missions. So now you're looking at, and I did go to Georgia, and it was taking me a while to do this, but I think that's somewhere about 7.5 hours. It's close.
I got it.
So the fatigue factor is your adrenaline's going, so you don't, you know, it's not that. The people that suffered over there were our backseaters that got violently ill from all of our maneuvering. And they threw up a lot, and I would throw up in the back seat the way we flew the airplane. They were the real unsung heroes because they died just like we did. We lost in these airplanes in a period of 6 years. We had 250 people that died in these airplanes, and most of them were from combat losses. They weren't from crashing the airplane, and that was all over the country. You know, Doc and I lost 3 airplanes and 6 crew members. In our 6-8 months right there, good friends of ours. But it was the ability of this airplane and their crews to find the enemy that made us so successful because, number one, the North Vietnamese had never had anybody up there with a slow airplane to look at them. They'd send these RF-4s up there, Mohawks up there, to film them and look at the IR or infrared. We found them.
Let me tell you one of the typical missions up there. We would be flying along in Dong Ha Desh. Tom would call me and said, we got a recon team in contact. And he would give me the frequency, and he would tell me the general area that the guys were. You couldn't give the coordinates because the NBA were listening to you. So you'd start heading in that direction, and they would see you coming. And they say, okay, we're at your 10 o'clock. So I'd turn the airplane, you know, over here and say, okay, now we're at your 1 o'clock. And I'd turn it back and keep going. And then they'd say, mark, mark. And I'd look down and see a guy laying flat on his back with a orange panel stretched over him so I could see him. At that point, I'd open my window, take my M16, fully automatic, back seat would do the same thing, dive for the ground. Tracers are coming up, and you go fully automatic. I'd fire with one hand, fly with the other, and go out there in the back seat after we make that one pass to keep the NVA's head down so they could our guys couldn't maneuver. Back seat's cranking up the artillery, and I'm calling Tom Jones again saying, I need some TAC air. And he would get them, he'd start bringing them up on the station, whether it be out of Chulai or out of Da Nang with the gunfighters or the love bugs. And once we get them on station, we had a grease pencil that we would mark them as they checked in with us on the windshield so we could see them, you know, as they checked in to us. And then what we would do, we'd have the artillery coming in and trying to put it around the NVA and trying to get our guys to maneuver and where we could put in some bombs. And once we got that in situation, then we would have the TAC air, and they would come up. I'd shoot one of the rockets out there, and I'd say, see my hit. And -1, -2, they'd go into a circle pattern because you give them the running heading. You tell them what the target is, terrain, elevation, which way to turn out so they would get the least amount of fire. And bring them in. And then what I used to do, when they were coming down about 350, 400 knots, you'd see them coming down on final, and I'd say, -1, you got me in sight? And they'd say, yeah. I said, okay, only way you're going to fire on friendlies is on top of me, and I'd stay right on top of the friendlies as he went by. And then I would drop the bomb, and then I would rack the airplane in a tight circle and say, -2, you got me in sight, Raj. Okay, you got -1's hit. let's go 12 o'clock, 50 meters. And I said, the only way you drop on friendlies on top of me, and I'd get right on top of the friendlies as he went by. And that's where we used to do it. And just keep working it until we could work the guys out. And to my knowledge, we never lost one. Did you ever lose one, Charlie? Did you know of?
Now, were you, you mentioned M-16s. Were you supposed to have M-16s?
Yeah, we had them on the airplane. We carried them, and then we had a little small, what was it, 45, Charlie, we used to carry?
So that was the only armament you had, and the rockets were, of course, were for
well,
spotting.
I had a few CS grenades, too. I dropped a few of those a couple of times to just suppress them.
Well, now, to avoid the anti-aircraft, you kept doing the juking and the... Whatever happened to be your way of doing it, and I guess Charlie probably had another way.
Yeah.
No, it was just, yeah, there wasn't anything. The fear will make you move in a lot of different directions very quickly.
It will.
But just picture yourself when he's talking about 2.75, and it doesn't matter what, these are rockets that come out of here. You can actually pick anybody here on the front row. I can almost hit any one that I want at a certain altitude. I've got to really, really, really risk going as low as I can before I push it off. But these were very accurate. Now, they're not going to be accurate from 3,000 feet, but you can punch up off at 200 to 300 feet. It just takes a little bit of, you know, if you're, you know. I went up to North Vietnam after the bombing halt, and we had trucks. Now, understand that during the bombing halt from President Johnson, he said, nobody can cross the DMZ unless you're being fired at. Well, we got tired of sleeping in bunkers with the rats, and we were starting to take incoming. So one of the things I got recognized for, not very nice, at the Paris Peace Talks, I decided to tiptoe in my little airplane and go find some trucks because we knew the trucks were bringing all the ammunition. You know, we may be only Georgia graduates. We got to figure it out. They're not having these little Vietnamese carry these nice artillery rounds. So I snuck up there, good Marine in my back seat, and we said, we're tired of it. Here comes a truck, two of them, and we decided, let's go get them. Rolled in about 300-400 feet, I don't know, and I armed all four rockets to shoot them. Now, I was real smart up to this point. What I did not understand was that if they were carrying munitions, there was going to be a large explosion of my rockets. And sure enough, they did, and I pulled up, and in my wings, there were over 40 different pieces of metal from their munitions. That's hard to explain when you get back home when you're not supposed to be up to North Vietnam. But that's how silly it was. And how would you think if you were a Marine or a First of the Fifth and you were sleeping in a foxhole right here and you can't fire at him until he fires at you? So we actually would take rocks. We would take anything we could to provoke the North Vietnamese because we just got tired of taking incoming. Incoming means artillery. It's loud. It's noisy. It kills people. So,
now, how long was your tour of duty?
I stayed there 13 months, and then I extended.
So normal, it would be 13 months for the other guys.
12 and a half months. You always got, you know, by the time you go to R&R and try to make up with your wife, it's 12 and a half months.
But Doc, would you tell us about the spring of 68 and the importance of 1968?
Well, what happened when I first got up there in 68, I had the Marines in the back seat, and all of a sudden the Army said we want to go into North Vietnam. And so the Marines decided they weren't going to go with us. And that's when we got the Army 108 to go in our back seat. And they did an exceptional job also. And we were TAC Air qualified, and they would run the artillery in the back. But the mission changed drastically at that point. They just told us, you know, from now on, you know, you're going to go up there. We had two missions a day, six hours up in North Vietnam. And it was exciting for all of us, but that was the big change for us. Because none of us had ever done it before, and we didn't know what to expect on it. But also, Charlie, talking about the bombing halt, I remember one time I was frustrated as he was one time flying along the sea, and I could see him cross the Ben Hai River, which was the DMZ. And we were only 15 miles from there, so I knew they were going to hit us. And so I had my back seat. I called Dong Ha Desk, Tom over here, and I had the back seat open up with his M16 into the air. And we couldn't fire at them unless they fired at us. So the M16 shooting up in the air, and I'm telling Dong Ha Desk, I'm taking fire, I'm taking fire. They said, yeah, we can hear it. What do you want? And then we started putting some smoke on them. But that was the main thing there.
Well, how about you were the first pilot to fly up into North Vietnam, would
yeah,
you tell
we us? Just talked about that, okay. Yeah, on that. Yeah, well, you know, just flying up in North Vietnam, people, you can't believe it. But, I mean, you go up there, and Tom wanted to see the North Vietnam. He's in the underground bunker and looking at a big map, and that's all they see, and they plotting on that map all the time, so he wanted to go see North Vietnam up there and all the fire bases, Contien, Geraldine, Alpha 3, Charlie 1, our fire bases. So he comes out to the airplane, and when he walked out there, I said, I don't know if this ain't going to get off the ground. I mean, he had guns, knives, everything hanging off of it. And I got him in the back seat. So he's sitting back there, and I had the windows open back there so he could stay cool, you know. We're flying up on the Z, and so I was showing him the fire bases. And as soon as I crossed that Ben High River, I said, Tom, we're in North Vietnam. And I didn't tell him I was going to do this. I fired all four rockets at the same time. He came out of the back seat about and was about ready to shoot me. But anyhow, you know, you have to make it fun up there a little bit, so.